Coming up in this episode of Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska.
I didn't really understand what was happening, so I went around and I opened all four doors, and it was just four Niagaras of water pouring out of my car.
Katie Ott turns her car into a fishbowl, and Ashley Carrick and her friends break the cardinal rule of Alaska, which is don't drive naked.
Six people, past midnight, are running up onto campus from lower campus with basically naked, and everybody's just running.
Car Trouble, up next on Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska. I'm Rob Prince. Before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know about some exciting Dark Winter Nights news. Maybe you heard that Dark Winter Nights has its very special 10th anniversary live show coming up on Friday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. in the Centennial Hall Theater in Pioneer Park. You may have also heard that tickets for it sold out in less than 24 hours. But I have some good news for you folks who want to see it but couldn't get tickets. The show will be broadcast live on KUAC 89.9 FM and live streamed at KUAC.org. So it'll be just like you were there, but with your eyes closed. Again, the Dark Winter Nights 10th anniversary show will be Friday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. on KUAC FM and streaming all around the world at KUAC.org. Driving in Alaska is something else, especially when it's really cold. Tires freeze flat when they're parked, so you've got to drive for a few bumpy minutes until they round out again. And the first winter I lived in Fairbanks, it got so cold that my car handle broke when I tried to open the door. Fairbanks winters are so hard on cars that manufacturers literally send their upcoming models up here to test how they will perform in the winter before anyone has even seen what they look like. To make sure not to spoil the surprise, they literally cover them in disguises made of fabric. I'm not even kidding. It is super weird. Well, in today's episode of Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska, we have two stories of winter car trouble in Alaska. However, in these instances, it was not the fault of the cars or the cold. It was 100% user error. We'll start off the episode with a story from someone who is very dear to the Dark Winter Nights family. Katie Ott has told multiple stories at our live events and even served as an executive producer with us for years. She shared this story at our November 2023 live event in Fairbanks. And before we get into it, let me preface the story by giving you a little background on a couple of things that come up. First is Water Wagon, which is basically a gas station for water in Fairbanks. People who don't have access to city water or a well use it to fill water tanks, usually in trucks, to take home to refill their water holding tanks. And Belaine Hill is a giant hill on the northwest side of Fairbanks. I used to have to bike up it to get home, and trust me, it made me want to throw my bike in the ditch and hitchhike. That's how long and steep that hill is. Okay, here's Katie.
So this story takes place the week before Christmas in 2011. I was brand new to Fairbanks. I had just moved here in October. So I'd been here for two-ish months. And I was really just sort of enjoying figuring out the Fairbanks lifestyle. I had found a really sweet little house to rent that was just east of UAF. It was tucked back in the trees on the Pearl Creek Trail system. It was just super idyllic. And I was really enjoying just sort of the winter wonderland of it all. And if you've lived in Fairbanks for much time, you know there's a lot of different lifestyles. And one of the aspects that most of them revolve around is how you get your utilities. So if you live outside the floodplain of the Chena River, more than a mile and a half to 2 miles away from Airport Road, then that means that you're in discontinuous permafrost. And there are no city utilities. So you've got to figure out how you're going to deal with water. One lifestyle that many of you have either lived or at least familiar with is probably the dry cabin lifestyle. Yeah. Another option is you can have a well drilled on your property, then you have water 24/7, theoretically. And the third option is you have a holding tank in your house. And that was the situation that I had. And if you have a holding tank in your house, that gives you a couple more options. You can either have water delivered or you can haul it yourself. Obviously, having water delivered is super convenient, is also more expensive. I didn't have a permanent job at the time, and so I was trying to stretch my dollar, and it seemed like hauling it myself might be the better option. Most people who haul water themselves have a big truck. You'll see the tank in the bed of the truck. Or they have a SUV with a trailer, and the tank is on the trailer. I had a 2008 Honda Fit. So if you're not familiar with Honda Fits, they're a little four-door, like micro hatchback. And the really nice thing about them is that they have the cargo area of a regular hatchback, but then the second row passenger seat folds completely flat, and you can fit a lot of things in that cargo area, including a 100-gallon tank. And maybe you're thinking that this is a case of just because you can fit a 100-gallon tank in your Fit doesn't mean you should actually haul water with it. So the night of the story, no, I've been doing this for a couple months. So the night of the story, I was at a friend's house on Chena Ridge, and she cooked a delicious dinner of scallops and roasted veggies, and we visited for a while, but it was a work night, and so I needed to head home, and I think I left there around 10 p.m., and on my way, I figured I'm going by the water wagon. I might as well stop and get a load of water, and as I was driving down Chena Ridge, I got a text from this guy that I was newly dating, and of course, I wanted to write him back right away, but I'm not going to do that while I'm driving, so I figured there'll be a couple minutes to kill while I'm getting water at the water wagon, so I'll just text him back then. So I get to the water wagon, and I'm kind of in a rush. I put the hose in the top of the tank, and I throw the money in the machine, jump back in the driver's seat, and start texting. And it took a little longer to write the perfect text, because you know, sometimes when you're in a new relationship, you put more effort in than is necessary. But anyway, I didn't know that at the time. And so I finally finished, hit send, and all of a sudden, a bunch of things became crystal clear. The pump that you can usually hear running inside the water station had stopped, so it had finished dispensing the water. But I could still hear water flowing. And my feet were wet. And so I opened the door and stepped out, and it was just an immediate gush of water. And I didn't really understand what was happening, so I went around and I opened all four doors, and it was just four Niagaras of water pouring out of my car. And I still wasn't connecting the dots, so I went around to the back, and I opened up the hatch, and there I saw my mistake. I never closed the valve on the bottom of the tank after the last time that I had emptied water. So it was wide open, and I put 100 gallons of water into that tank and then directly into the car. And maybe 100 gallons doesn't sound like a lot, but it is so much water. And so I'm just kind of standing there for a minute, watching water continue to pour. And there happened to be another gentleman at the water wagon. And he had seen all of this unfold. And so he came over and stood next to me kind of quietly for a second. He goes, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think so." And then he goes, "What are you gonna do?" And I said, "I don't know." And then he hands me this little styrofoam coffee cup. And he says, well, I found this in my cab if you want to use it to bail. And because, you know, like on the floorboards of your car, like there, it comes up and wraps around. There's like a lip, kind of creates a bathtub effect. So there was, even though the water had pretty much finished emptying from my car, there was still like 3 or 4 inches of water standing in my car. And so I sure enough used that cup and I started bailing. And as I was bailing, I was starting to panic because I realized it's minus 15, 20 below. I don't have a garage. My parents are coming in a week. My car is gonna freeze solid. And I'm gonna pick them up from the airport. First, they're gonna be sitting on a block of ice. And then by the time I get them home, they're gonna be like, their butts will have melted into the seat and they're gonna, they're going, what is happening? And so I didn't have a whole lot of friends in Fairbanks at this point. And the list of friends that I thought could help me in this situation was even shorter. And so I called my friend Nisha. And it's worth mentioning that she was also my direct supervisor at the time. And so you could say I had some incentive for not looking like an idiot. But I didn't know who else to call, and I really needed some help. And so I called Nisha. She was just leaving the hockey game. Her son played for the Ice Dogs. And I told her what happened. And I said, I know you guys have that really nice, like, multi-car heated shop. If I can find a car wash with one of those wet dry vac stations tonight, I'll suck as much water out as I can. And then I'm just going to have to let the rest freeze. But could I come to your house over the weekend and just park my car in your shop? So that maybe it could dry, like for a couple days, just park it there, and maybe by Monday it'll be dry. And Nisha said, absolutely not. Let's just deal with this tonight. You don't need to let it freeze. Don't deal with any car washes. Let's just bring your car out tonight. It'll be dry by morning. Let's deal with it now. And I said, okay. I was super grateful. And so I headed out to their place. They lived in Goldstream. I didn't necessarily know the most direct way to get there, and so I took the Lane Hill. And I mean, I had been pretty effective with that coffee cup, but there was still some free water in the car. So as I'm going up the lane, all of the water goes rushing to the back. It's fine. But then as I'm coming down the other side, all of that water flows forward again, and my feet got soaked all over. But I get out to their house, and I actually had beat Nisha there. And so I walked in, and her husband was there. He was not expecting me. And he had just gotten home from surgery that day. He was posted up in the recliner in their living room, and they had some friends over keeping an eye on him while Nisha was at the game. And he didn't know why I was there. And so I gave him a real quick Cliff Notes version. And then I said, Nisha said I could come use your shop vac. And he kind of chuckled and said, no problem. And so he gave us some instructions between me and the friends. We got out to the shop, found the shop vac, got everything put together. I'm pulling the floor mats out, sucking water. Things are going pretty good. Nisha got home and she found some fans and space heaters and, you know, setting everything up. And then she goes back in to check on him. And I'm in pretty good spirits. There's still a lot of water in my car, especially in the seats. They kind of acted like a sponge. But we're making progress. And I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes into this, I start feeling kind of queasy. And I remember that delicious meal I just had at my friend's house. And the last time that I ate scallops, I got really sick. And I thought then maybe I just had a bad scallop. And I mean, what are the odds that you get sick twice in a row, right? I just thought, no, maybe I'm just stressed and it's indigestion. I don't know. And so I tried to ignore it as long as I could until it became very apparent that I was going to get sick in a hurry. So I went sprinting out the back door of their shop as Nisha was coming to check on me. And I think I made it to the far side of their driveway before I had to bend over and yell at the ground. And once that was done, I came back in pretty sheepishly, and Nisha was standing there, and she goes, "Did you just puke?" And I said, "Yeah, but I don't know what that was. I think I'm fine. It's probably over." It was not over. What commenced was bouts of me trying to work on the car and then sprinting to the bathroom to just emergency evacuate north and southbound everything in my digestive system, which if you've ever been there before, you know, is just physically exhausting. And it was also mortifying because the bathroom was right off the living room and maybe 6 feet from where her husband was a captive audience. It was pretty brutal. Once I had everything out of my system, the rest of the evening was comparably uneventful. Went back to working on the car. I think we wrapped up in the wee hours of the morning and cranked the fans and the heaters. Nisha made sure I had some hydration, and then they let me crash on their couch. And come morning, the car was actually mostly dry. And so I put everything back together, thanked them profusely, and kind of tucked my tail and headed home. And I was still just mortified about how everything had transpired. But to their credit, I don't think they've ever held it against me. And obviously, this story is an example of how there's some unique challenges to living in interior Alaska. And there can be serious consequences when you make stupid mistakes. But the beautiful thing I've learned about Fairbanks is you're never alone. Whether it's a complete stranger who has assessed the situation and can tell that... all you need is some kind of container. Or it's a friend who's willing to open their home to you when you're in the middle of a crisis. The people here have hearts of gold, and I know a lot of them are in this room, and a bunch of you could probably tell similar stories. But Fairbanks people just show up for each other in a way that you don't see anywhere else. And that's the kind of community I want to live in. Thank you.
Katie Ott. She shared that story at our November 2023 live event in Fairbanks. This is Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska, the Car Trouble episode. I'm Rob Prince. In case you missed the announcement at the top of the show, the Dark Winter Nights 10th anniversary live show is going to be broadcast live on KUAC 89.9 FM and streaming at KUAC.org on Friday, May 3rd at 7 o'clock p.m. Tickets to the show are sold out, but you can still be part of the listening audience thanks to KUAC. I hope you enjoy the show Friday, May 3rd at 7 o'clock p.m. One of the many weird things about Alaskans is that sometimes when life is really, really hard for them, they like to make it even harder just for fun. Take, for example, the 40 Below Club in Fairbanks. These are folks who have taken their picture in front of the temperature sign at the entrance to the University of Alaska Fairbanks when it was 40 degrees below zero or colder. And just to give it that Fairbanks flair, they do it in about as little clothing as is more or less legal to wear in public. for Ashley Carrick and her friends, though, they accidentally found a way to make the experience even more unpleasant and dangerous. She also shared this story at our November 2023 live event in Fairbanks. Ashley was our audience storyteller for this show, meaning her name was pulled from a hat, and she was called on stage with zero preparation to tell her story in front of 1,300 people at our sold-out live event. So for many of you, that might actually be an even scarier situation than the one she and her friends got into in her story. Here's Ashley.
So I have a story of misadventure involving joining the 40 Below Club, which took place in 2012. I was a sophomore at UAF in the psychology department. I've always been a complete and total nerd. And so while other college students may have enjoyed going off campus and hitting up a local bar or finding something else to do with their time that involved more drinking and more partying, my friends and I enjoyed just studying until very late in the night at the Honors College, at the Honors House in Fairbanks. And on one of those type of nights, we were probably 3 or 4 hours into a group study session, and someone decided to look at the weather app and discovered that it was 49 below zero. And so, like any good college students in our junior year of college, thinking, we haven't done that club thing yet. We're like, well, tonight's probably a good night. So we piled into a friend's Jeep. Six of us drove down to the UAF sign, immediately stripped down to our skivvies in front of the UAF sign, negative 49 below in the 49th state, took a beautiful picture, hopped back in the Jeep, drove back up to campus, had a great night, patted ourselves on the back. The next morning, found out that my college boyfriend at the time had posted a photo of that 40 Below Club experience on Reddit. And I didn't even know what Reddit was. I had no idea. But he came in the next day to where we were all studying again, and he said, "We made the front page of the internet." And I still had no idea what he was talking about. So he pulls it up and he says, "You know, Reddit, Ashley, Reddit is kind of a big deal." And I was like, "Okay, so what?" So then he shows me that this photo that we had taken of six of us in front of the UAF 40 Below Club sign actually had millions and millions of views just overnight that had organically taken place. So we felt a little proud of ourselves. We're like, yeah, we did this. We got all this street cred. And it became this great instant bragging right. So that very same day that that took place, the weather was dropping, the temperature was going down, and a friend looked at their weather app again, and they said, "You know what? Tonight is also supposed to be negative 49 below. Maybe we should do it again." And you know, it went so well the first time. It's like, why not? So, by the time that decision had been made, it was a Friday night. Of course, we weren't doing anything but sitting in the dorm room doing homework. And a few friends were over at our dorm, my roommate and I, in Lathrop Hall. And some of the friends that were over were living up in Bartlett Hall, so other end of the campus. And so it really impromptu, let's go back down to the 40 Below Club sign, let's do it again. And nobody had any bathing suits to wear for this epic picture we were going to take. So everybody proceeds to pick clothing out of my roommate, who's about 5'4" and 120 pounds, and my closet as a 6'3", 200 pound person. Not a lot to choose from, and we had four guys. And so the guys are putting on one piece bathing suits because I'm 6 feet tall, so there were things that fit. Some of the other girls who were there were putting on little bikinis or spandex or whatever they could find that would fit, and we're like, this is great. So we go back out to the parking lot, we hop in a friend's vehicle, a little tiny Subaru. We didn't all fit. There were six of us, and there were room for four people in this car, so two people were sitting in the trunk facing each other. And we make the short drive down to the bottom of campus to take the 40 Below Club sign picture again. We hop out of the car in our frenzy. We're like, This is going to be great. None of us had put on overclothes to wear down to the sign because, hey, it was so great last time. It only took a minute. We didn't need to have warm-up clothes. We just leave the car running and just get out and then hop right back in. So we didn't bring any coats with us. We didn't bring any pants with us. We didn't bring any normal shoes with us. So we get out of the car, and we're pulled off to the side, and we hop out to take the picture, and the friend who is driving hops out, locks the car door instinctively, because that's what she always does, slams the door, and we all run over to the sign, some of us in our flip-flops that we use to take showers in the dorms, so we're not wearing appropriate footwear. And then someone turns around and said, who's taking the picture? And as it turns out, no one had thought that far ahead. So this was prior to every single cell phone having a camera on it. And so there wasn't a way for us to get a picture. So I'm like, okay, well, it's pretty cold out here and we already got this, so let's just get back in the car. And we turn around, we walk back to the car, and the first person walks up and says, can you unlock it? Another person walks up and says, yeah, it's locked. No, it's not, says the friend who is driving. So she walks over and she goes to the driver's side and she goes to try and open it. She goes, oh, shit. And I don't know why at this point you would pat yourself down because you're not really wearing anything at all. But she goes to pat herself down. It's like, yeah, I don't have the keys. And we're like, we figured. So you kind of have two options at this point. You could panic, or you could panic and start walking. And we chose the second option. Six people, past midnight, are running up onto campus from lower campus with basically naked two men in one-piece bathing suits from my closet. Everybody else wearing stuff that doesn't really fit or fits a little too snugly. And everybody's just running. And there's a point in that panic where you just gotta laugh at the situation. You're just like, well, I guess here we are. This is what we're doing now. And that wore off quick. Because one person starts just sobbing because she didn't have any shoes at all. So bare feet from the sign up onto campus. And at this utmost dire end of need, along comes a Fairbanks campus police officer. And this was a student campus police officer who probably had normal college hobbies when he wasn't doing patrol, and pulls up and he says, where are y'all going to? Where are y'all going to tonight? So, well, we got to go back to the dorms to get the keys to the car so we can go back to the car. And it's parked on the bottom of campus. And so he says, would you like a ride? As though that was a question at that point. So we go back, get the keys, and he drives myself and the friend who is driving the car back down to pick up the car. And at some point, he puts the math together when he sees the vehicle down there that six people had been in this car that only fit four people. And so he says, you know, normally, this is one of those situations where I'm really not supposed to let you off the hook. I think I'm going to give you guys a pass. So we ended up picking up the car and heading back up to the dorms, and all's well that ends well. But folks, the moral of the story here is just because you become internet famous doesn't mean every idea you have is suddenly a good idea.
Ashley Carrick. She hopped up on stage from the audience without warning or preparation to tell that story at our sold-out live event in November 2023. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of Dark Winter Nights, True Stories from Alaska, the Car Trouble episode. Today's show is edited by myself, Rob Prince, story consultation by Lori Neufeld. One more quick reminder that the Dark Winter Nights sold out 10th anniversary live show will be broadcast live on KUAC 89.9 FM in Alaska and streaming all over the world at KUAC.org. So wherever you are, you can hear it as it happens. I hope you enjoy the show Friday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. Remember, these are the stories we tell up here in Alaska on Dark Winter Nights. I'm Rob Prince.